Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and this show is about soothing your soul. Don't you love that? You're going to be so soothed. I am. I've read the book about it. So you might have noticed it in my voice already. So I'm very happy to talk to the author of the book called Soul Soothers, Mini Meditations for Busy Lives. And the author who's on the line with us is Cindy Griffith Bennett. Cindy, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. How are you?
Oh, great. I'm very soothed. Thank you. It's an opportunity. And this is an opportunity I think we all want. We all want, I think, to know how to keep our minds calmer, stay more grounded, live in more light each day on a regular basis, even all day long if possible. Even though
that's the goal of Soul Soothers, is to bring that peace of mind into these little mini meditations into your day, so that you can bring that peace of mind all day long. There's no need for it to only be reserved for 15 minutes when you first wake up in the morning or a half an hour before you go to bed. That we can, by implementing these little tiny moments into our day, we can have that soothing all day long.
Right, and you even point that out in the book. At the end of the book, you follow a woman through her day, watching her meditate in and out of her life. I mean, it's amazing how many moments she can find to plug into an altered consciousness of awareness, a mindfulness, perhaps it's easy to say, but also it's an activity. It's not just being mindful. Because we're going to talk about the way that you teach how to meditate so that people can really understand how to use this during the day without it being complicated. It's quite simple. All you have to do is remember to do it. And even for that, you have a meditation to remind you.
Yes, Bell meditation.
Right.
I think that we get caught up, and it's not that we're not spiritual people or that we're not really wanting to bring this into our life, but life happens, and it can be joyous and it can be wonderful, but that doesn't mean that there isn't an underlining stress with the activity. I have some wonderful things going on in my life, but I can't say I'm living a stress-free life. I try to do my mini meditations as often as I can, but still, sometimes, you know, half a day goes by and I realize I haven't really breathed. You know, I haven't checked my breath. I haven't checked into where my head is at. What's my energy level?
Well, I think the first thing that you teach about is just the way to shift out of the moment, out of the hectic activity or stressful moment that we're in, to just to pull back, there's even a meditation for holding your own energy inward and being aware, but watching your energy and protecting it even.
Yes, there's a meditation on how to deal with difficult people, and how to be aware, and this is one, how to be aware of how energies affect us and how our energy affects other people. And this is where I find Soul Soothers goes a little further than a traditional meditation book. It also works as a mini, what I call a spiritual primer.
Yes, there's a lot of lessons in here.
Yeah, about how to be aware of energy and why might we feel really drained after having lunch with negative Nelly? And how can we, when we're dealing with difficult people, pull our energy back? You don't want to live that way. It's living detached. But for little crisis moments in our day, when we feel like we're being overwhelmed by somebody else's energy or even a situation in our life, we can pull back and just regroup and then get back into experiencing the person's energy from a more centered, grounded, and, as you mentioned, mindful perspective.
Right. And there are a lot of people who are more sensitive than others to this, to disturbances in their fields.
Yes, you know, Peter, I feel people are getting more sensitive, though, every day. And so even maybe someone that wasn't sensitive 5 years ago or 10 years ago or even, you know, a year ago, I feel that what's happening is our energies are getting more refined, which is a plus in some levels. Mm-hmm. But when it does make us more sensitive to the energies around us, absolutely.
Right. And for me, actually, I've chosen to avoid a lot of stressful situations. I've decided I don't need to engage in them. Luckily, my kids are grown and they're out of the house. And, yeah.
Peter, we call that creating a drama-free zone.
Right.
And we're like, we're in the drama-free zone. You're not allowed to come in here if you're filled with drama. But, you know, not everyone has that advantage to be able to pick and choose what places you put yourself into, because maybe our work is a massive drama zone, you know. So we by instituting these little meditations throughout the day, even if it's the one I call the 20-second meditation, or I tease, I call it the potty meditation, because where are you? Where you have a minute to yourself, you know. But even if you use something as simple as a 20-second meditation, just to stop, breathe, recenter, and then go on your day where you're making mindful choices. You're not like the tumbleweed in the workplace.
Yes, and the easiest one that you recommend has to do with holding your head up by your hands. In other words, letting your head drop. Your face drop and being held up by your hands.
Yes, you support your elbows on a table or on your knees, unless you have a big tummy, then that's a little difficult. But you support your elbows on a table works best, and you just allow your head to rest in your hands. And the only focus you have at the beginning of the meditation, meanwhile, this is only 20 seconds, so maybe for the first 10 or 15 seconds, is the sensation of your head in your hands, feeling that weight. And then the last 5 seconds or so, allow yourself to recognize that your head is totally supported and that your neck no longer has to carry that responsibility. And so for maybe a few seconds, you just allow the shoulders to totally relax and let your hands totally support the weight of your head. And this allows not only yourself to take a moment to stop, clear, breathe, but it also allows you to feel supported. And in our lives, very often, when I counsel as well, I do spiritual counseling and intuitive counseling, and people come and say, you know, I have a great husband, but he doesn't support me. Or I feel like I'm a single mom and I don't have anybody, I'm supporting everybody else. You know, I don't have anyone to support me. Well, here's a way that, yes, you're still doing it, but it's allowing yourself to feel at least supported for 20 seconds.
Yes, and there's so many other ways of meditation that you've listed in the book, and you describe, let me count them up here. You have 20 meditations, and each one is, I think, very enticing, inviting, an opportunity to explore being with yourself and using these meditative moments in very positive ways. Some of it has to do with just grounding ourselves and being mindful and being aware. And then there are meditations that have to do with reaching out and sending blessings. You have a wonderful meditation called the Blessing Meditations.
Yes, the blessing meditation, it's interesting. This is one of the ones I think can be extremely helpful when we're trying to not only improve our present day, but send blessing energy into the future, or work on something in the past. How often do we spend our time regretting or working over saying, oh, I could have done that better, a past situation? We all know, Peter, and I'm sure you speak about this with other guests, that we should be in the, I don't want to shut down anybody, but that it's best to be in the present moment, right? That's where we should be. But where do we spend so much of our time? Regretting or reviewing things in the past and living and worrying about things in the future. So we can use this blessing meditation to send blessing energy, which is simply feeling a loving sensation in your heart, imagining it turning into a golden ball of love and sending it forward or backwards into the past or into the present moment. So it's a way that we can energize a past situation, and instead of constantly looking at it and adding more worry or negative energy to it, we can instead add positive energy so that as eventually, not right away, of course, but eventually as we look into our past, we have more memory of the love we've sent than the actual situation.
That's wonderful. I'm remembering a session I did. I'm also an intuitive counselor. And I did a session with a woman some years ago over the phone, and I, for some reason I was hearing that she needs to lie face down on the floor, the arms out, and I didn't know why, but that would heal her. And then after she did it, and all of a sudden there was a big change, and we looked at that, and I asked for higher guidance on what it was, and it was she had been a shaman in a past life and had sent healing energy to her future lifetimes.
Oh, my goodness.
And so here
well,
she
was.
Well,
that's the concept.
Yeah, that's right.
I was thinking of it more next week when you have to deal with the banker.
Right.
But, yes, you could send it to future lifetimes. You could send it to past lifetimes. Because, as you know, there's no past, present, or future in reality. We are dealing with one continuous moment, or that's, anyway, a belief. So we can transcend time, especially with an energy as powerful as love.
Right, and one thing about all this is that I think it helps us feel bigger about ourselves and have more possibilities in our life so that we can then just tune in and do these meditations and be this more loving presence because there's this eternal flow of who we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And so this is an opportunity. There's so many ways that you talk about being present with ourselves, the breathing meditation, grounding meditation, walking meditation, staying in your energy meditation. Those are all really helpful, and it gives people choices, too. You're not going to get bored.
No, and the way the book's designed is that because it's designed specifically for people that don't have a lot of time. And you're in the metropolitan area, that's where I'm from. I come from Rockland County, and I spent most of my years in Rockland and Orange County. But it's a different pace. Now I live in the Finger Lakes in upstate New York, and we're not quite so hectic. But it was designed for people who don't have a lot of time, and you don't have to read the whole book. As probably when you read it, you notice you can simply go to the table of contents, pick out a meditation that seems like it may fit your mood for the day, read the meditation, it's only one page, and then go out and practice it. And then later, if you have time or you find you like the meditation, then you can go back and read the rest. But it's designed to be basically take a glimpse and go.
Right. And I really like the choices in here, and they're powerful. There's one meditation that I really attune to, and that's called the mantra meditation, because it's similar to the blessing meditation, because it's using the power of our intention to heal and to enhance energy in ourselves and in others.
You know, we used to do mantras. Well, if you were raised in Catholicism, you have the Hail Mary. If you're raised in Buddhism or Hinduism, of course, you have mantras are heavily used in the Eastern tradition. But there was a time, maybe I don't know how old you are, but in my generation, when we said grace before we sat down to eat, or in sports, we sing the national anthem before we start the game. There is times when we just take a moment through word or sound, some sort of a vibration that we use to shift the energy and say, we were doing such and such, now we're doing such and such. And so we can use this to not only shift our own vibration, let's say we're obsessing or something and we want to get out of that, but we can also use it to tell ourselves, break with the past, move forward to the future without bringing that past energy. And so one of the times I think are excellent for doing a mantra is when you're getting into your car after work, or after maybe after a situation where you had to deal with a grouchy mother-in-law, which is my example that I use for in the book. But you know, that a mantra can be extremely helpful to say, okay, stop. Now restart. It's almost like a reboot.
And not only that, but you allow people, you're not dictating anything here. You're creating opportunities for people to create their own mantras. And you talk about the power of words and how our mantras can be so powerful when we come up with mantras that we can embrace and really intend to use in our lives. They can help us change energy just through that word usage.
Yeah, the only thing that I really put as a requirement, and again, it's recommended but not required, is that the as you said, the word that you choose, or phrase, because it doesn't have to be a single word, that it's empowering to you and that it's something that you feel comfortable with. You wouldn't want to have a mantra that says, I am not. You know, you want a mantra. It's like an affirmation. You want to keep using the positive. One of the things that I find I use the mantra most is I have a tendency to obsess at night. I can't fall asleep because my mind won't be quiet. And so I use the mantra release. Now, that's not a high and mighty spiritual word, but what it has is a huge connotation to me of letting go. Let go. Let spirit handle it. You know, release. And it's a word that I use repeatedly. That's how you use a mantra, over and over again, until my mind lets go of whatever it was obsessing about.
Right. I use a mantra called sleep. I just keep saying, sleep. Sleep. And as long as you don't stop, eventually you're not doing it anymore because you're sleeping.
Right. Well, it's amazingly powerful. You know, we think a lot of these things, oh, I'm visualizing golden light coming down, but it's real. Light work, visualizations, they're very, very real. And this is also why when we are constantly criticized as children and then we keep those criticisms in our head, it can be so detrimental, because this is very real. Words have energy. Words have effect.
Right. And so we need to transform that in so many different ways. And using a mantra meditation can transform a lot. And there are so many other ways of being mindful and recognizing when we're caught in some pattern that we're not comfortable with.
Yes, you mentioned one of those earlier, not by name, but it's called the bell meditation, where you design a bell in your life. If you're a techno geek like my husband, you can get an app for your phone that's called the Mindfulness app, and it actually has a bell that will ring, you know, at different times of day. But you can use getting into your car as a bell. You can use opening your wallet as a bell. You can use a phone ringing, if you're not a telephone receptionist, as a bell. But what you do with a bell is you when you hear your bell, and again, it could be a situation, it may not be a literal bell, you check in with yourself and you say, you can check in with different ways. What I suggest as just a suggestion is, am I in the present moment? Are my thoughts in the now? Are my thoughts positive? And how is my body right now? Am I sitting weird? Am I sitting all cross-legged and stressed, you know? So that when you hear that bell, you simply, and it takes a split second, you check in. Where's my mind? Where's my thoughts? How's my body?
Right. And it's so important to keep coming back to our mindfulness. So if we have something that reminds us to be mindful, And might take a while to get into the habit of it. I would think that if I said, okay, every time I'm going to open a book or something like that, that's going to be a bell. But I might forget it that I said that. And the next time I open a book, it's not a bell. So I think
Exactly. We
might have to write it down and keep practicing and practicing. And eventually it becomes a habit.
Well, and also, I think you made a point and led me into another point I like to discuss, thank you very much,
is
not judging. Because we tend to say, oh, look at my mind, I can't count my breath, you know. I can't count my breath to four without having a thought come in. Well, that's okay. Thoughts are going to come in, but don't judge yourself because how much now time have you spent judging? The whole goal of this, people that are going to use soul soothers, they're not the people that are looking to achieve guruship. You know, they're looking to achieve some peace and calm in their life. They're looking to find ways to add meditation to bring more mindfulness, maybe some intuitive development. But we're not looking to be to sit on a mountain and have no thought.
Maybe some gurus need this too.
Well, it might be helpful, you know, especially helpful in seeing you need to give instruction to the level of ability that the person has at this moment, not their potential, because, you know, we all have the potential to be able to meditate for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half an hour a day. We have that potential. But it's like asking someone to weight lift 150 pounds when they have never weight lifted 10 pounds. So as we start with this, and you may find this is all you need. The person may say, look, I'm so excited I can lift 10 pounds. I don't need to lift 150 pounds, you know. And that's fine. Being okay with where we are, not judging, but then looking at how can we improve incrementally so that we don't bring judgment in. Because judgment then defeats the purpose of the calm and the stress reduction and all of that.
Right. And in the book, you talk about the difference between judgment and discernment.
Yes, that we can recognize saying, oh my goodness, I can't lift 10 pounds. But we don't have to say, I'm a bad individual, or oh my gosh, I've let my life go to pot because I can't lift 10 pounds. So you look at it and you say, I can't lift 10 pounds. What am I going to do about that? Is that important to me? Is it not important to me? I don't say this is good or bad in order to lift 10 pounds, but is it important to me? Do I discern that it would behoove me to be able to lift more weight? Well, yes, I do, maybe, and so I'm going to get a 2-pound weight that I can lift, and I'm going to start practicing with that, and I'm going to be okay with where I am today. It doesn't have to be where I'm going to be tomorrow, but I don't have to judge myself that this is where I am today.
And perhaps that's one of the highest spiritual paths that we can be on, is not to have that kind of judgment. And then that leads to detachment, because detachment is not getting away from things. Detachment is just being able to engage in anything without this ugly judgment that can come into it.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. I'm going for my master's, and I'm writing my thesis on the mystics and what spiritual journey they recommend to their seekers, not necessarily including redemption because nobody can agree, but in between multi different traditions, so Christian, Hindu, et cetera. And one of the commonalities, because that's what I'm looking for, the commonalities, is that as we mature spiritually, we can have life happen, but we stay calm. And I do feel that's because we don't judge life situations as good or bad.
Exactly. And I think that's the future on this planet for us to have a happier society, is to not judge so harshly and be open to opportunity.
Well, and to recognize that everything changes. Good, bad, or ugly. You know, you may be really happy right now, and that's great. But don't live for that, because there's going to be a bad day mixed in with that. It's just true. And if you're having a bad day, don't despair, because there'll be a good day mixed in with that. You know, it life changes, and that's a natural progression. And when we don't cling or grasp to how things are today, whether they're good or not good, in your judgment. but that to not cling with them. And I think the reason we cannot cling with them is because we don't judge them as good or bad. We say, oh, sunny day today, isn't that lovely? Oh, rainy day today, isn't that lovely? The flowers need the rain.
One of the best spiritual books I've read was written over 100 years ago by a woman named Annie Besant. And it was about living the spiritual life. And it's so full of guidance this way, and helps us really have more compassion for ourselves.
And yes, and I think, boy, if we could have more compassion with ourselves. We talk about not judging others, but my goodness, we should start at home.
Right. And so let's come back to the meditations. We only have a few minutes left, and I want to talk about how deep you get, too, because you get into chakra meditations, and you have the golden light meditation. And even beyond that, you have something called the outer bodies meditation, which is working with outer chakras. And I was so thrilled with reading those chapters because those are beautiful meditations, and they really are empowering. They work with light and a sense of color that is beautiful, and I want to thank you for including those meditations in the book.
Well, you know, I find that light work, and which is basically what you're talking about, is incredibly powerful. And if we are aware that we are more than our physical body, we become aware that we are more, our energy extends beyond our physical body. And you were talking about Annie Besant. Well, the Theosophists have been talking about this for many, 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 many moons, that we need to be aware of our outer bodies. And because our intuitive information and our intuitive help from our guides or angels, whatever you want to consider that, comes through all of our outer bodies, we want to keep those nice and clean and clear so that we can get the best we can. But they're very affected by our mental state, our emotional state, and so we tend to cloud those up frequently. And so by using some different visualizations, which are in the book, and like you said, we don't have a lot of time, so I can't go through them, but by doing some of these visualizations, we keep our energetic system clear, and it's like clean water. You want to have a clean energetic system so that anything that we make with that water or with that energy is also clear.
So your book really works, and I think everybody should run out and get Soul Soothers, Mini Meditations for Busy Lives. It's really a wonderful book. I'm certainly going to keep it handy because I really am going to enjoy doing a lot of these meditations on a regular basis. Cindy Griffith Bennett, how can people reach you?
They can reach me through spiritualsimplicitybooks.com or psychicsupport.com. I also have a Facebook page called Cindy Griffith's Giving Back Page, and Twitter is @TarotHeals.
Oh, that's great. Cindy, it's so wonderful to talk with you, and I'm really happy that you were able to put this book together and make it available. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, Peter. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, good. Mine too. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. Lots of classes going on. All kinds of opportunities to work with people, so please call and come to class. And thank you so much for listening.